Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of Word of Mouth, our podcast in conjunction with 78 Magazine. Today, I'm joined by Francesco Arese Visconti, the head of our Media and Photography Department. Why don't you introduce yourself a bit?
Okay. So, I am originally from Italy. I was born in Florence, and I moved to Switzerland in 2007 as an adjunct faculty to teach photography courses. And in 2014, I became the interim head of the department. And in 2017, the head of the Media Communications and Photography Department. I developed two certificates in photojournalism, studio photography, and lighting, and the BA in photography. Three years ago, we started again producing the magazine in a printed version, and we are changing part of it, and I think this is part of our discussion today, right?
Yes, today we'll start off by talking about the changes that are being made to the magazine. Mm-hmm. So I think we could simply start by exploring why it changed. So exactly what inspired the change to the magazine, to go from printed to online?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, 3 years ago, the magazine existed before, prior to my being the head of the department, and it's called 78 because of the year of foundation of our Geneva campus, and it always involved students in the production, and I think it's a great experience. And 3 years ago, we produced a new version of the 78 magazine, and it's been a good success. And last year, the last version of the magazine, the printed version of the magazine, has been a great edition. Up to the point also that the students managed to fundraise part of the money that is needed for printing it. But last year, talking to Keith Stramberg, who's responsible of the production of the magazine with the students, we decided that we had to move one step forward in a more contemporary way. And the idea is to have an online platform where we can have more multimedia production. Still trying to maintain the printed version in probably a smaller version than what it was before. So the main idea is to be more updated with what's happening in the field of media, and including a variety of new production.
Mm. Okay. And what exactly do you think are the benefits of moving from print to online?
Well, as I said, it's not going to be only online. We're still going to have a printed version because I think it's still helpful for students. I mean, helpful. It's still rewarding for students after a year of work to have something in their hands. I still believe that the touch, the feeling of having something in your hand is still important. So we still have something. On the other hand, I think that in these days, everything is basically online, and there are so many possibilities in communicating through social media that it would be silly not to do it. Mm. So as I said, what we have online is not a PDF of the printed version of the magazine. It's going to be a platform. So in that way, we can upload other kind of media other than still images and words.
Hmm. Okay, and how can students that are not in the class actually be part of this overall production?
Well, students can still be part of the production. They can just join meetings out of class. They will not get credits for some of the work that we'll be doing, but it will be credited on the magazine. So I think it's still valuable to have participation and being part of the team, as they would join a magazine, a real magazine, for getting work experience. I think it's really valuable as a first step in this field because journalism is moving from what it was before into something broader. You have to be able in producing different media in these days. So having the chance to participate, to be part of this group in producing the magazine, I think is a valuable experience. And it should not be done only for credits. So they can still be part of that production. Yes, they join. They can join. And we are also expecting students to participate even from different countries. I mean, with what we have in these days, you know, conference calls, sending files from different countries, their participation to the team is still is absolutely possible. So we are hoping to have participants from other Webster campuses.
Okay, that all sounds very great, and I hope that this is all going to work out as well as we think, getting some participation from students outside of the class and even from outside of the country. It's going to be very like valuable to us.
Yeah.
So moving on from the magazine to the Tuscany trip that is going to happen soon. So what exactly is the program of the trip? How is this going to play out?
Well, let me give a little bit of background of what's happening. I started the Tuscany trip even before then I became an adjunct faculty here, because it was originally a Webster St. Louis trip to Tuscany, and I was invited as a visiting photographer, basically, to participate to the trip in 2000. May 2007, and as I said, I joined Webster in 2007, but it with courses, with summer courses. So after that, and originally the Tuscan trip was mainly started for using large format cameras and developing large format film. And we used to go in the Chianti area, which is an area between Florence and Siena in Tuscany. Then we moved from there and went to Pistoia, which is next to Florence, but the opposite direction. And there we were still doing large format photography, but I realized that students were also looking for something more digitally oriented. So I think 3 years ago, I decided to just move to digital photography and involving students into projects. And that's why we went to visit for 2 years in a row an eco village next to Pistoia, and we produced work which has been printed and exhibited on the Quai Wilson on the Lake Geneva in Geneva. A very great exhibition. I mean, impressive in terms of size of the prints and in terms of quality of the work by the students, and it was supported by the Green Cross. So it was really a great experience. And this year, what's happening this year? Well, from last year, we moved to an agriturismo called La Casolare, which is next to Volterra. So we moved from Pistoia to this other area. And there, I thought that I would have introduced something new that I personally experienced. And I thought it was something very interesting on a human level. Mm-hmm. The idea is to walk for a couple of days and documenting this walk, not only on what's happening, but also in terms of feelings, perceptions, experience. So walking on a Francigena path, which is a medieval path, which goes from Canterbury to Rome. And last year we did 40 kilometers in total in 2 days. And students, well, for me it was daring, something new. I didn't know what would have been the outcome. Well, I can tell you what the outcome is. The outcome is that the class was this year full at the beginning of December, and the trip is in March. So I think the students appreciated what we did. They were tired, but it's been a great experience. I think that walking in this way opened, I don't want to say their eyes, opened our eyes and in terms of experience. So we had an amazing, of course, media production in terms of photographs, videos, podcasts, vlogs. But I think that the students appreciated the walking experience, slowly getting to one place, which is something in these days is not really... I mean, we are in a fast, fast, fast world. Mm-hmm. And doing something like that, walking on a medieval path all together, having the time to exchange impressions, I think is great. So this year, we have... we are going to... the trip is part of our photojournalism class and topics in video production class. And we are walking from... the place where we arrived last year, San Gimignano, which is an amazing medieval city. So whoever is listening should go on Google and check what San Gimignano is. And we're walking from there to Monteriggioni, which is another amazing place. And I was exchanging a couple of WhatsApp with my friend in the agriturismo to decide where to stop on the in the middle. It's going to be a little bit shorter, so it's not going to be 40 kilometers in total, but it's going to be probably 30-something, but like 10 kilometers less. I don't think that that 10-kilometer metric makes a big change once you're walking. But we basically are going to have shorter walking experience, but the landscape and the places where we're going to go through it are amazing. So I will ask the students again to produce work on this experience as a photojournalism class. And then, of course, we're not going to only do that. My idea is to give the sense of... It's actually having different assignments. So one thing is center on the walk. And then another idea is to center on investigating the refugee experience. So we're going to have the chance to meet one refugee who... he's living in the area, and we can interview him and probably follow him for a couple of days in his daily life. And what we'll be focused our attention on is not his past experience, but his current life, and see how things can change, if they change, we'll see. So that's going to be a second project. And the third one is about Italian style. And when I say Italian style, it's mainly about Italian branding. And when I say branding, it's not... Gucci and Ferragamo only, but it's also how Italians tend to live and which are some of the values. So in doing these, we will visit the Piaggio Museum, and I don't know if anyone listening to this podcast knows what Piaggio is, but everybody knows what Vespa is, which was invented by Piaggio. And so we'll visit that museum, which is next to the Agriturismo, and I think it's going to be interesting to understand how an idea like that brought to produce an object which is a symbol of Italy in these days. And in Florence, we will visit the last 3 days of our experience, our 10 days experience in Tuscany. We will also visit the Uffizi Gallery, as we usually do, and the Museum of Fashion in Florence, which is going to lead us from the 15th century fashion to contemporary fashion, because in Florence we have Pitti Moda, which is a big event every year about fashion, and everybody knows Italian fashion. So yes, this is one of the things we'll do. It's been a bit long, right?
That sounds like it's going to be fun. So you mentioned the walk and how it moved from 40 to 30. So even though it's shorter, do you still think that students should be like prepared for the walk?
Well, I think that more than training, I think it's a matter of equipment. So students should know that we're not going to go shopping, basically. So we have to have really comfortable shoes and not, trendy, cool shoes to look at, but really comfy, and light backpacks, very light, very, very light backpack, refilling bottles so that you're not taking with you 1.5 liter bottle of water, but something that it's half a liter, and then you're going to refill on the path because we have fountains. Light clothing, but it's going to keep you warm for the walk. So something light, really try to reduce at the minimal the weight you're taking with you, because for 1 kilometer it doesn't seem tiring to have 10 kilos on your shoulders, but for after a day of walk, yes, it's too much. So I would recommend getting ready with equipment, and then of course you have to be capable of walking, but I think this is something that everybody should be able to do. Mm.
So the walk certainly seems like a bit of a challenge for some people, but what were the biggest challenges for you for this trip?
Well, the big challenge every year is to make sure that everything is well organized and there are no hiccups. Of course, every year there's something that is not perfect, but you have to be flexible and find a plan B immediately. And so the coordination of the whole thing is the most complicated thing. You know, when we are leaving, when we are coming back, the number of students also, because this year we have the largest number of students ever came to the trip. We have 13 students plus 2 faculty. So it's going to be 15 people. And we have to organize with cars and being sure that everything works fine. Mm. In December, when I went back to France for holidays, I had to stop by the hotel to rearrange the rooms because we were more than expected. And so all these little details that should not be forgotten. I called museums yesterday morning to do all the reservations, the bookings, because Florence, as you know, is based on tourism. So visiting the Uffizi Gallery is not just like going for shopping. It takes a little bit of time to book all these things. So yeah, it's that's the biggest challenge. And then making sure that the students have all the right comfort. So the rooms and making sure that everyone is fine with what we're going to eat. So these are the biggest challenges. Mm-hmm.
So then moving into a bit more of a positive light, what do you personally enjoy most, like when going on the Tuscany trip?
What I enjoy the most is the eyes of the students at the end of the trip when they see light in their eyes, that this trip actually brought them something new and different. Something I don't want to be presumptuous in saying something that is going to change their life. No, this is too much. But something that is going to mark a moment in their life, and they will remember when they will be grown up, and maybe bringing their children or friends on a walk like that, and appreciating the beauty of art and through reproduction of media. So, but that's the most rewarding aspect for me when I come back. Right on the day after, once we are back, and I see their eyes and I hear feedback from other people that it's been a great experience. So for me, that's the most important thing. Hmm.
And what do you think are like some of the favorite pieces of media that the students have produced that have come from this trip?
In the past? Hmm. Well, I saw every year in December we do an event. We organize an event called the Media Showcase, which brings together the best work of students producing the year. And last December, there was a video produced by one of the students who came to the Tuscan trip the year before, who's coming again this year. So probably this student appreciated the trip so much that he's coming back. And I love that video because it was really talking, I don't want to say, not badly, but about the hurdles and the difficulties about the trip. So watching that video, you would say, I'm not going to go. But then the last sentence was actually rewarding for me because it was said that basically it was the best experience in life or something like this. So actually it was a great conclusion, and kind of not expected. So there was a good piece in terms of video production. And then, of course, I've seen amazing photographs as well from last year, but also in these 12 years of work. So, yeah, it's I've seen great photographs and vlogs, because 2 years ago we started also with vlogs, and I've seen a vlog from a person I would never expect it to be so communicative, from a person who's not that much communicative in during daily life. So yeah, this.
Mm. So you mentioned about this person who's not very communicative has been able to like sort of produce a very great vlog and kind of come out. So that seems like it's a very good thing for students. So what are some of the overall benefits that this trip can give to students?
I think the benefits are, of course, there are two courses happening during the trip. And then, of course, we're also meeting before and after the trip. So students are learning new techniques and new skills. So on the field. So like 2 years ago, we produced a video on the agriturismo owners who changed their life from Sweden to Tuscany, what drove their intention to move to a totally different life, from city to countryside, from a well-organized country like Sweden to a little bit less well-organized place like Italy. And students were part of this production, so they really learned a lot of skills in doing that. And of course, in terms of photography, we talk a lot about technical aspects and composition and different cases of situations that might be complicated in production images. This is one aspect that I think is really important. But the other important aspect for me, and there are actually two, is living together for 10 days is actually an important aspect in realizing how much you share an experience. And then the walk brings them together again. And after work, the walk, we all feel more united because you experience something together. It's not a reality show. But the idea is that we are doing something that it was normal 1,000 years ago. And now it's not normal anymore. And for me, I think this is one valuable aspect of the trip. So skills, new techniques, life experience. I think these are the three key elements.
These are all something like they're very valuable and will be really great to obtain. So
I forgot one thing. Oh, I mean, yes. Also having good food, of course. So we also made pasta by ourselves, we made pizza for ourselves. So I think this is also appreciating good Italian food. So
considering all these different benefits, how can students actually sign up for this trip to kind of get this?
Well, the most important thing is that they get in touch with me so that we can talk about their background, what they have done in the field of media, and then they can register. Usually this year we had also a pre-registration list, and the students that wanted to register, they had to notify, they wanted to be the first ones to be registered as soon as the class was up in the system, so that basically the class was full the day after it was in the system. But this is usually the way of doing it, getting in touch with me and then registering for the class, which is going to change next year. It's not going to be photojournalism, it's going to be photo workshop, so photo 4000. Same time, March 2021.
All right, that is all the questions that I have for you today. Thank you very much for being here and answering my questions.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.